Blog Talk Radio.
But in the world of sports, we got a lot of things going on. And, of course, the big thing outside of sports that's going down is Game of Thrones season premiere tonight. HBO, I hope you got your DVR and you're recording that. That's how we do. We got to get down to record that. The better shows are the ones that we need to pay more attention to in the fourth. And the world of sports are coming up on the NBA playoffs. And, shoot, we're looking at the shape up, and it's coming down to the max there of what we're about to envision. And you look at the standings that are going down right now and how it sets up and lines up. I mean, we only got three games left. Atlanta's sitting there on top as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland stronghold, and they're going to hold on and knock down that number two seed. Chicago and Toronto are sitting there tied and locked up with the same record, 48-32. I don't know necessarily if Chicago can go ahead and take that seed. If they do, they're going to match up against the Washington Wizards, and I don't like their chances of winning. And the seventh and the eighth seed, you got what? Like I told you, two games left. It seems as if Boston only needs to win one more game to go ahead and lock in. Lou, are you still there, brother? Because I can't
hear you. Yeah, I'm here.
Still not here. There you go. There you go. Got him coming in.
Yeah, the music too loud. That's what it was.
Well, yeah. You got to have the intro. You got to have the boom coming in. That's how people get down and they get the job in first. So it's good to go ahead and get them twisting and turning so they can listen to this good luxury music. That's the classics, man. You know, that's one thing I need to say before we even move forward, man. The classics versus what's going on now, I don't know what's going on. You know, you got really good producers that have a big-time 808 or a drum bass beat, and that's it. I mean, it's the same lyrics. They just, I don't know how many ways you could say money, cash, and women, they're all in the same different way and make the same message. You know, that's basically what they do. But back to the NBA. Lou, Chicago sitting there at a four seed. Look like they're going to match up. If they don't win their next two, and then hopefully Toronto loses their next two, I think they're going to lose that tiebreaker due to the division. I'm not necessarily sure if that's true, but I think that's true. So it's not going to be, you know, great for them. San Antonio right now, well, before I go to the West, let me go back to the East. But Boston sitting there at 38-42. One more game, Lou, and they're in. That's it. And they would have made the seventh seed after coming back. Milwaukee sitting there at 40-40, 500. Jason Kidd comes in. All of a sudden, Milwaukee's in the playoffs. I think that says something towards his coaching prowess. And then we look at Brooklyn and the Indiana Pacers fighting for that last seed. I think Miami's practically almost done. You know, the Pacers have won four games in a row. Brooklyn has lost, so basically they have an opportunity to go ahead and take that last seed. And we're going to see how that turns out. Charlotte's done. They're not going to make it. They've been eliminated. The Heat, they lose one more game. They're done. Or actually, are they done now? Let me see. How many games left? We said two, right, Lou? So, yeah, they're done, too.
Yeah, they're done.
It seems as if – no, you know, I think they're still alive. They are. They can't lose no more games. They have to win out.
But, then they're done.
It's really because, yeah, unfortunately, you know, no LeBron James obviously equals no victory for them. So that's very, you know, disappointing for them. It looks like Indiana, they're up on OKC. OKC looks like they're going to play their way out of the playoffs as well. I don't see them coming. As we turn it to the Western Conference, of course, Golden State's pretty much locked it down, having a record of victories here, 65-15, best record-wise Golden State team that they've ever had, 65-15, more than likely to go 67 or 66 wins for the season. Memphis is sitting at 54-26. San Antonio right now is over Phoenix. And San Antonio, look at that, they're sitting there at 54-26. They win tonight, they're going to snatch that third or even second seed. They have an opportunity to take that second seed because Grizzlies, the Clippers, and the San Antonio Spurs all have the same record. And the Rockets are sitting there losing on a two-game losing streak, sitting there 53-26 as a sixth seed. But it's probably better for them because now they're matched up against the Clippers, right? And Portland that's really suffering because they have to go up against the San Antonio team, which is on a hot streak, 10-game winning streak in the season. They just became a buzzsaw at the end, right? And we turn around, look at Dallas sitting there as the seventh seed. They got that lock. Nothing's happening there. Like I said, the Pelicans and the Thunder have the same exact record. And right now, Indiana's winning against the OKC Thunder, and it doesn't look good for them. I'll just tell you that. And New Orleans, they're facing off. I just saw who they were saying. They're facing off against the Houston Rockets, and they're up at halftime, 55-52. So they're going to have to make something happen to change the way that outcome is, or it's going to end bad for them. Typically, Lou, what do you think about this race, and who do you think is going to come out at a Western Conference, at least to the conference finals, and your estimation from what you see?
San Antonio, definitely going to the conference finals. And it's going to be a toss-up between Golden State and Memphis. They're going to meet each other in the next, well, let me see, the seeding, 1-8. Yeah, 1-8, and then underneath 1-8 will be 4-5. So, or is it 1-8 and 3-6?
Man.
No, 1-8 at the top is 1-8. Yeah, at the top is 1-8, then 4-5, then 2-7, and then 3-6. So it'll be Golden State and San Antonio in the second round.
Man, so you know what? I kind of see that too. For me, it's Golden State and San Antonio. I think they would, at this particular point, could go all the way and make it to the conference finals if the seeds stayed the same. But that, you know, that it would be almost what was sacrilegious to say, because we're not necessarily sure of how those seeds are going to turn up, because San Antonio could easily end up as the two seed. And I kind of see that possibly happen. You know, I kind of see them looking like they might be a two seed. And if that happens, then they would end up that way. And I think it ends up that way if they go as a 3-6 seed, right? If they get a third seed, it would be the same. Because the number one seed would face off against the 4-5 matchup, right? Because that would be the lesser of the other two. So if San Antonio lands at either, let's see, if they land at 3 or if they land at 2, then they have an opportunity to make it. But if they don't, then they'll be playing your boys in the second round, which would be crazy, super crazy. So Golden State, San Antonio, second round. That would be the best series matchup for everything that we would actually see. So, crazy.
I also like how in the East, how Cleveland doesn't show up to play at all, basically give Boston those last two games. Boston basically blew them out, and, you know, the team – they were playing their starters. They just gave Boston those two games.
They did.
They really kind of
resting players. Yeah. They're definitely resting players. They're not really putting them in harm's way. And, you know, hey, you know, sometimes it works that way in your favor. I'm going to give, you know, credit to Brad Stevens. I mean, for them to come out of that hole they came out of and make the playoffs And this is only his second year, right? And they lost everybody. Everybody from that championship squad is basically virtually gone. All the main players, Rondo, Garnett, Pierce, what's the backup, Green. Basically everybody off that squad is gone. So he's basically dealing with still, you know, spare parts and a bunch of picks. And it's like they're 38-42, and they're in the playoff as the seventh seed. The bad news is they face off against Cleveland. That's the bad news. So I guess Cleveland has basically looked at their schedule and said, well, you know what? We can't tie against anything and have an advantage if we make it to the finals with anybody that's in the top seed. So we'll go ahead and give these games away. That's what it looks like, right? They recognized that their ceiling was met, and they wasn't going to have an opportunity to match that. So, you know, it's you know, friend or foe in that circumstance. But Lou, you gotta be excited, even if the fact that they might not go as far as you would like them to go because they're relatively young. You gotta be excited for the fact that hey, they made the playoffs this year. That's exciting, don't you think?
They've done a good job. I'm more concerned about what happens in the offseason. The players have done great. They've hustled all season long. But the main concern is that damn figurehead in the front office. Like, what you going to do to capitalize on this? You have all the picks and everything to make moves on the chessboard. Now you have to actually make the moves work.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I mean, but you got to come on. You're so hard on Ainge. Ainge has actually done well, I think. I mean, look at what he was up against. He didn't really have much to deal with. He basically, let's be real about it. You know, Rivers wanted out. Basically, all those players wanted out once Rivers left. And I mean, he brought in Steven. That's still a GM pick. So you got to give him some credit. Right, Lou?
Yeah, I did. I said they've been playing great all season, but I'm more concerned about the offseason.
You have little faith, my man. Let me tell you, it looks bright because you got a couple of great talent. You know what? I kind of see they can trade and trade up for certain things, but because the NBA draft is so, you know, littered with inexperienced guys, it's kind of not a benefit to have a whole bunch of picks, right? So,
yep.
It's almost dangerous but good and good but dangerous. So, you know, we'll have to see. We'll break it down, look towards the future and see what happens. I expect good things out of this team. I think they're going to play pretty well against Cleveland. They're probably going to lose in like five games, but they're going to be in every, at least three to four of those games. They're going to be in them, playing tough. So I don't expect it to be down. So in the Eastern Conference, who do you see making it to the conference finals?
Right now we have, looking at it right now, of course, we have Cleveland. So in that bottom half, right now how it looks, we got Cleveland playing Boston in the bottom half and Toronto and Milwaukee. So it's obviously going to be Cleveland. They're not going to have that much problems with Boston or even Milwaukee or Toronto. So, and especially with Kyle Lowry with his back issues, that's what's going to hinder them. So they're not going to go far. So Cleveland in the bottom half going to the Eastern Conference. So that's the top half. Atlanta should roll over Brooklyn as if Brooklyn makes it in. Indiana is still there. So if Indiana makes it in, I would have to go with Indiana beating Atlanta in the first round, possibly. That could be either six or seven games out of that one.
Well, I got to agree with you. I got to say, Indiana's a real dangerous team. I mean, it's sad that Atlanta has this record, you know, this 16-19 record. And they got to face an Indiana team that's just gotten hot. Paul George has returned. But we know how good that potentially could be for them. If he knocks off some of that rust, it's going to be something serious. So That's a tough game for Atlanta if they got to face them, you know. And it looks like Boston's going to lock down that 7th seed.
Yeah. Nothing out of Chicago. Yeah, nothing out of Chicago and Washington. And it's, I think Washington will advance in that. I also think that series is going to be a real, probably a drag-out series and the potential of somebody getting hurt in that series. And I'm not talking about Derrick Rose. I'm thinking somebody else on the possibly Pau Gasol or even on the Wizards side, it could be Nene. Either one of the big men could get hurt in the series.
Yeah, I see that too. I don't, you know, the Bulls just don't have it. I need to get rid of Rose. That's just bottom line. Get rid of him, replace him with other parts, and build around Butler and what you have, and Gasol. You know what I would like to see? I'd like to see Rose go to L.A. and let Kobe go ahead and come back or come to Chicago for some kind of deal, because they're basically owed close to the same money. But who's going to want Rose anyway with that non-desire to go ahead and work through his injury? So I don't know. I think they're going to keep him. They're going to make a big mistake. And they're going to get put out of the first round. I'll be very surprised if Chicago gets out of the – if they would have matched up against the Milwaukee Bucks at the 3 seed, I think they'd have a better opportunity. But they stay in that 4 seed. They're not going to beat the Wizards. I just don't see it. And if they do, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah.
It'll go to 6 games max, and I pick the Wizards to win that. And Atlanta, the tricky thing is, who will Atlanta play? If they play Brooklyn, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. That Brook Lopez has been really, balling out as of late. So I've been very impressed with what I've seen from him and what he's brought to the game. So,
yeah, he has, but you still have that detriment on that team at the point guard spot.
What about that?
I guess so.
But Dan Williams even exists anymore?
He exists in some form. So it'd be smarter them to rely more on Jarrett Jack if they want anything positive out of this. But they're not going to do that.
No, I'm kind of wondering, are they ever just going to, you know, I mean, let's be real about it. Let's just say reality is, and what you're telling me is that Deron Williams is starting to become the cone status, that's what I call it. And what I mean when I say that, basically when you're driving on the road, instead of having a person waving you in, you just have a cone not to get in that lane. That's basically what Deron Williams is starting to turn into, a cone.
Yep.
He's just a minor obstruction, and it's like, I don't know what to do about that. I don't know. He's kind of – haven't heard anything from him. He didn't have an all-star year this year. I don't know. What's going on with him? What do you think?
He's a cone with bandages. He's not a healthy cone.
Oh, a low budget Derrick Rose, huh?
Yeah, basically. That's basically right on the money. That's what Deron Williams is now.
So terrible.
Yeah. But, hey, that's how it goes. I mean, you still have Jared Jack. He's been playing solid for them. Joe Johnson will always still be a clutch player for him. But you have Deron Williams there. You basically just don't know what you're going to get with that guy nowadays. Once in a while, he'll play like how he played in Utah, and more than often, he'll play like a street cone. So pretty much rule Brooklyn out of this. First round victory for Atlanta.
Unless Indiana gets there.
Yeah.
Indiana, I mean, they're up on OKC. They're about to tie them. So I'm looking at Washington. Washington's up on Atlanta. And, man, I don't know, Lou. What do you – his forecast doesn't look too bright. for Brooklyn. I don't think they're going to be able to close the deal. They got blasted by 23 points today by Milwaukee. I don't know what's left on their schedule, but I have to take a look. But it doesn't look promising. So, you know, tell me, what else is in the news for the NBA?
Well, Clippers signed a guard, Lester Hudson. For a minute, I thought it was Troy Hudson, but no. Lester Hudson to a multi-year deal. It's not disclosed, but he was signed with them for a 10-day contract back on the 29th of March. So now I think they signed him on for good. Find out for more information on this guy. Probably got him from the D-League. The average... He only played three games for them, like starting off with the 10-day contract. That's 2 points, 2 points a game and two steals. Well, of course, he didn't play that much. But regardless of that, I don't really see any difference. Not going to make any difference for the Clippers. They're going to be out.
I tell you. To deal with these 10-day contracts. I wish I could get me a 10-day contract. How much did they make for a 10-day contract? A couple of hundred grand?
I don't know. I don't even think it's that much.
Well, you know, when you get in the playoffs, I mean, man, so much opportunity with that. It always seems to go to people that don't deserve it. I realize, did Andrew Bynum retire?
I mean, he might as well. They don't want him back. Nobody in the league want him back. He might as well retire or go and play overseas in China like everybody else does.
Oh, that's terrible. But didn't McGrady, he retired from the NBA, but he still plays in the China League, right?
Marbury is continuing playing in China. He's actually playing with his head on his shoulders and won a championship.
Oh, you know why? Because he's away from American society. That's what's going on.
He won a championship and they given this guy, I think they given him or gave him a statue. In China.
Wow. Impressive,
and,
my man.
Yep. And, Cousins and Rudy Gay, they'll be sitting out for the rest of the three games. Like, that really makes a difference, you know. Front office pretty much ruined their chances of even having a successful season.
Yeah. Boy. I don't know, my man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Just doesn't look safe in the city. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. And that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but we're coming on the precipice of the NBA playoff season. And, man, you know, some real good matchups on the cards, man. I'm like, you know, this is really going to be a pretty good playoff. And as dreadful as the East has been playing, you know, lack thereof on the quality, man, you get Indiana in there. That's an Indiana team with Paul George on the roster. That's like, man, they could become a big situation, a big problem. So I'm just looking forward to that being, you know, a pretty big matchup. So we'll see how that goes and how that transpires and what it'll look like moving forward. But, man, I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm seeing this. Some big problems. And, you know, the Raptors, as we always said earlier in the year, the Milwaukee Bucks, they might not have won in the first round. They're going to really stretch that Toronto team. They're going to make them play basketball. They're not going to make it easy.
That's going to be a
7-game series.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for them. And when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo, there's no one on that team that's going to stop him on the open court, especially when you let him run coast to coast and dunk from the free throw line like he almost did against the Knicks. Yeah, it's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, they got to figure out a way to manage that, because that's not going to look too good.
Yeah. And also, you haven't heard much from O.J. Mayo. You know, get him back in the playoffs, it's going to be a real problem for Toronto.
Wow. Mr. Mayo. Mayo. Man, Mayo name. There's a lot of Mayo name going on.
Yeah. Indiana only up by 5 right now with 1 minute left.
Oh yeah, 1:04, 108-103. I think they're going to Pacers are going to win this game, and then they're going to be tied with Brooklyn. And I don't know who would get the tiebreaker out of those two, but tell you what, I wouldn't bet against anybody, you know. We're better against the Pacers right now. But let me tell you, that Oklahoma City is playing, they're playing like with high desperation. And this Pacer team is about to be 5-0 since the guy returned. I think that says a lot. And that has to be recognized. So.
Yeah, both of these teams are fighting again to that last spot. Westbrook with 53 points.
See.
Almost another triple-double. Right? Yeah, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. I mean, 8 assists.
Yeah. Terrible. 50 points, this guy.
Yeah, he's been doing all he can. He has been putting it all out there, every single game.
Yes, I mean he's been making it very, very serious. You know, push on it. I don't know. I mean, what do you say about that? And who's this guy? Brandon, man, this guy, C.J. Miles, man. Like, who is that guy?
Well, no, he's a real solid dude. He originally was drafted by Utah, played with Utah. I think he came in the same time with Deron Williams, or maybe he was there a year before him. But, yeah, he was there in Utah when they had him, Deron Williams, and Paul Millsap. I think Boozer was there at that time also. So he's a real decent player at his position. Him and George Hill were pretty much the reasons that kept this team afloat while Paul George was out.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I won't tell you what's funny. Well, what I find funny anyway is when big men run, especially big men like Roy Hibbert. I mean, you might as well give him two wooden legs. Oh, it's the most hideous thing I've seen in a long time. The way this guy runs, man, it's just awful. Absolutely awful, man.
Like that robot from the first RoboCop movie.
Oh, yeah. Goodness, man. You know, tell me if you remember this. Remember, have a friend who was growing up, a guy named Antonio Perez, and he had this brother named Frankie. Thing that was funny about Frankie, every time Frankie would run.
Why do you continuously messing with Frankie? Leave Frankie alone.
I never, like, his head never moved. It's just in the same, it's crazy. Everything moved except for his head. You know. Shout out to the man, Frankie Perez.
Oh, God.
And it looks like Indiana's going to go ahead and seal this victory. I mean, they're up 113 to 104, 34 seconds left. I think that one's a wrap. Indiana is now tied with the Brooklyn Nets, or will be tied with the Brooklyn Nets. And you know what? I'm going to look at their schedule here. And I'm going to see when they played, who would have the advantage between them and Brooklyn, and who won when they faced off against one another. So let me check that out as we speak. Okay, first matchup, they beat Brooklyn 110-85. First matchup, so that's one game and nothing. If we go further down, see, they lost the second time, 123-111. Okay, wait a minute, they can only just play two times. What's going on here? Then they lost 111-106 to go back up here. Must have missed the game. Okay. They obviously should play, what, about four times?
Yeah.
I don't think they're in the same division. Let me look closely here. Okay, yeah, I see that. That's one. One Indiana one. Second game they played. Wow. Okay, they lost 123-111. Third game, lost 111-106. Man, to me, either I'm blind, but it looked like they only played them three times.
Mm.
That can't be right, can it?
Yeah, it happens like that sometimes. Sometimes you'll have teams, like an East team and a West team, like will play three times. Usually you would see most of them just play like two games. Two or three games, but in the East it happens. You have majority of teams will have four games against each other, and some of the times it'll be three. I guess most of the time it's all dependent on like division.
Yeah, but then sometimes we see where they play five times. I think I've seen that this season. I don't know where, but yeah, apparently they've only played three games, Lou. Like you said.
Yeah. And also, remember we
games,
had
Brooklyn
that.
Won of them.
You remember we had that blizzard on the East Coast, so a lot of times they don't have a chance to do makeup games, depending on how the schedule is down the stretch.
Ah, okay. Because I'm looking. But now, I'm seeing they're in the 36. They're about to be Oklahoma City, so they're about to be 37-43. Now, their next two opponents is Washington and Memphis. Oh, wow. That's pretty tough.
Yep. Good luck with that.
Well, see, they might get Washington. Washington might rest their starters. Because I don't think Washington, they're stuck in a 4-5 situation. Right? I mean, looking at the standings here, they're locked in as that fifth seed. Yeah, they're locked in. They're not going to have an opportunity to get the four seed. Doesn't look like. I mean, there's two games behind. They do have somewhat of a chance, but they've already played their game. I think they won today, right? They beat Atlanta. So it's like if Chicago wins one game or if Toronto wins one game, then that's practically over. So it's highly unlikely that they're going to get that 4 or 5 seed, so they might go ahead and rest players. I mean, let me try to look at the future here to see when does Chicago play. See the scoreboard here. They don't play today. Oh, they didn't play today. Chicago didn't play today, so let me go to Monday and see who plays Monday. All right, the Bulls on schedule. They play against the Brooklyn Nets. Let me see who the Nets, what their schedule looks like. Because I think their schedule is tougher than Indiana to a certain degree because they're still playing teams that are trying to contend, you know. They play against Chicago. Yeah. No, they definitely got Chicago and in Orlando.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's going to be tough. But they lost Milwaukee. I don't see them winning to Chicago. And that Orlando game is like a trap game, right? Almost
yeah.
like you have to win that one. But right now, they're tied at the same record. So basically, both teams have to somewhat win out in order to win. Chicago just might lose to Brooklyn, depending on what they can. But, you know, they're still trying to compete and get out of playing Washington. If I'm them, I don't want to play Washington in the first round. I know it. I would much rather play Milwaukee and have that opportunity to do that because they're not going to win against the Wizards. I don't see it. The only other thing that could be unfavorable is if Boston falls. Let me see who has Boston remaining schedule. They got two games. See who do they play. You might know that by heart. Let me see who they play last.
I don't keep up with the schedule.
Yeah, they got to play Toronto and Milwaukee. So, the thing is, it's like the need. Milwaukee game might be a breeze, right? Because Milwaukee basically is locked in as the seventh seed. They might rest their players that game, and they can win that game. But that Toronto game, Toronto's going to play hard. So they're going to have to definitely play a tougher, you know what I mean? They're going to play a tougher Toronto. And, I mean, just I think about a week ago, they played Toronto and won by 1 point in overtime. So it wasn't easy. And
yeah.
I know Toronto's going to be trying to make their presence felt and that. So they still got to win one. I think they'll win the Milwaukee game and possibly lose that Toronto one. And they'll slide in to that seed, and they'll lock down as the seventh seed. That's what it looks like. So we'll have to, you know, look further into that. That's what it is. Now the West is a lot more difficult. Like we said, Oklahoma City again. They lost to who was it?
Indiana.
Indiana. Why am I finding it hard to speak? Losing my mind here. So, it appears to me, let me see, two games. It appears to me that Miami, it looks like they might be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what it looks like.
Yeah. They're going to be out of there.
Yeah, I think if there was a tie, let me see what their record looks. They played Brooklyn. Let me see. They beat Brooklyn the first time. Let's see if they tied with them. If they had a tiebreaker. They beat Brooklyn the second time. They only played Brooklyn twice. What is going on here? Oh, no, they didn't. I think they played them three times. I think something's going on in my eye. Okay, they beat them the first time, 95-83. That's one. They beat him the second time, 95-91. That's two. They beat him the third time, 88-84. So, yeah. And they beat him a fourth. They basically swept Brooklyn. So they're still in it. Brooklyn has to. They can't afford to tie with Miami. They're going to have to figure out something. Miami, their schedule, they play Orlando and Philadelphia. Wow. Let's see what they look like when they play against Indiana. See how they match up against those guys. They lost to Indiana 81-75 the first time. They lost to them a second time. They won the third time, so 2-1. And they lost to them. So look at that. Indiana has the tiebreaker with Miami. Well, Miami has the tiebreaker against Brooklyn, and Brooklyn has the tiebreaker against Indiana. That's crazy. That goes to show you what kind of year we're dealing with here. This is what we're seeing between those right there. Like, it's crazy. So that's going to be a race. If either one of Indiana or Brooklyn win a game, Miami is eliminated. they will be eliminated from playoff contention, and there's nothing they can do. They have to win their last games and hope both of those teams lose their last two. I mean, if they don't, it's just not going to happen for them. And 46 losses, 38, it would be impossible for them, even one of those teams, to lose less games. In fact, I'm looking at 35 and 45. Yeah, if they win two and go 37 and 45, and Indiana loses two, if they can't tie against Indiana. So, and it's like it's still a race. It starts off with Boston. If Boston wins their next game, they are in. They're in. They lock it down, and they have the seventh seed. Now, between Brooklyn and Indiana, if they win one, and Miami, I think it's done for Miami. One game left to go. Yeah. So,
it's going to be
those
done.
Teams to lose. Yeah, I think so. One of those teams is going to win. Yeah,
neither one of those teams ahead of them. They're not going to drop. Indiana's not going to drop the next two games. They're going to win at least one of them, and that's just going to be enough for them to do it. Even Brooklyn, I don't think they're going to drop the next two games either. Boston, they're going to win.
It's
one.
Really almost so, like both of them need to win two games because look, if Brooklyn cannot afford. Indiana has to win both of their games. They cannot tie Brooklyn. They lose in the tiebreaker. So they're going to have to win the next two games. And looking at their schedule, I can see one that they can win. The other one, I don't see them beating both Washington and Memphis. I see them beating Washington because Washington's probably going to rest their players, depending on what Chicago does. If Chicago wins, they're going to rest their players. Hands down. I don't see them putting in their main players to finish that game. They're going to go ahead and just use the run-of-the-mill guys, right, and finish that game. And Indiana will more than likely win that game. The crusher is that Memphis game because that game, Memphis is going to definitely play for that position without a doubt. They are not going to sit back and let San Antonio or any of these other teams snatch their spot, so they're still fighting for their position. And I see that. I just don't see it being any other way than that. So,
yep.
As we look at it, that's what it looks like. That's what it really looks like, Lou.
There you look at the.
Yeah. I mean, they're sitting there at right now. They're sitting as a two seed. They're not going to concede that position to the Clippers or Portland. Or Portland doesn't have a chance. They're basically like they're going to be trapped in that four seed, which just seems so odd to me because even if they win a division, they have less victories than San Antonio and Houston, which is like backwards to me. They should actually, at this particular point, be the sixth seed. I mean, you get into the playoffs, you win the division, but you shouldn't win the seeding. Yeah, it's just a little what they do between professional leagues.
Memphis is in the same division as them in the Southwest. Yeah, Memphis, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, and New Orleans, so in the same division.
But Portland, though, right? Why is Portland sitting out in the fourth seed?
Yep.
I don't get
that. Yeah, because their division, Portland's division sucks. It's them and Oklahoma City, Utah, Denver, and Minnesota.
Yeah, and it's like they get rewarded, but they shouldn't.
Yeah, they're getting rewarded to be in the top four as far as like the division, but as far as the standing goes, they're not going to. They won't get a three seed. So where they stand, it pretty much they're gonna stay for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. They should definitely be a six seed. It doesn't matter who they play. They're gonna lose. So it's just with Memphis and San Antonio was bad. Like them and the Rockets, 54-54-53. They're basically a half game of separation between those three teams. That is so remarkable how balanced that the whole Western Conference is. It's ridiculous. Everybody is evenly matched.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's what happens when you when it comes to trades. You take all the good players from the East.
I mean, the only one that stayed was LeBron and a couple of other players, but yeah, this comes a race to the end right here.
Yeah,
ought to be fun to watch. Did Atlanta break the record for victories too? They got 60 wins. I mean, did Dominique days? I know they won 50 plus games. I don't think they won 60 though.
No, they never won 60.
That's crazy.
They never won 60 or finished the season as a number one seed. They could have.
Yeah, of course.
They could have finished the season number one seed, but that's when they traded Dominique.
Yeah, and it's Jordan there. That's right, man. So, I guess we'll just talk a little bit of NFL here. So then as we covered up the NBA and Russell Wilson basically is going to definitely still be in MLB baseball for the situation that he's in, and I would too, depending on the money he gets. But, I mean, he's a Super Bowl guy. Eventually, he'll have to give that up. I would anyway. And then look at Johnny Manziel. He got released from rehab after being in there 2 months. Will it do anything? I don't know. We'll have to see, right?
Yeah.
You got the Jets.
I would have.
I will exercise. Go ahead, Lou.
If Cleveland drafted me, I would put myself straight into rehab.
Yeah, it's like, but the Browns, man, I don't know what's going on there, man. It's like crazy. It's crazy, man. I don't know what they're doing or what they have, but you know it's not for me to say, I guess, because I guess we don't have the sensibility to have that kind of discussion. But that's what it seems like to me. Then Copel, defensive end for the New York Jets, basically Jets are going to extend him for the 50 option, and that's looks like it's good. Jameis Winston, attorney. This is crazy.
Who cares?
You read the story? Says that he's not ready to be an NFL player off the field. Wow.
That doesn't make any sense.
You know, I'm going to tell you, mentally you don't think he's ready. And that's his lawyer. And, you know.
Tell him to get a new lawyer.
Yeah, that's kind of like very incriminating for him moving forward. It's going to hold certain things up, but, you know, he may be telling the truth. That's the sad part. He'll be very honest. And we see Jameis once, and it seems like to us that he comes off a bit phony and really willing to admit to anything that he does. I never say this. I never thought a person could lie two times in one sentence. The first time I ever heard somebody lie twice. The guy so crabbed and said it was an honest mistake. Nothing about it was honest, and that definitely wasn't a mistake. You meant to do it. Unbelievable. This guy. So, I know they might be right. Not telling the people what they want to hear, might be telling the truth. And we'll see.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well, I have to check that out because you know how it is. People switch up on you. Colin Kaepernick, they say he has a new look and tight end, Vernon Davis, saying he's impressed with it. And I don't know what it is, but we'll have to see when preseason comes. But basically, they're saying they look very impressed. They worked on his mechanics. And I don't know. They said he looked pretty good. He's changed the way he drops back and he sits in the pocket. I mean, that's what we all said about Tim Tebow. They don't give him a chance. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens to Colin Kaepernick. And, of course, Marquise Pouncey basically has a good extension deal with the Dolphins, and they're going to give him something. Let me tell you, both the Pouncey brothers, the one in Pittsburgh and the one in Miami, are, you know, phenomenal, you know, offensive linemen. They did go to the University of Florida, had a chance to actually see them, and one place not too far from where he, you know, basically lived for a good portion of the life, and the other ones out there in Pittsburgh. Those guys are certified great linemen on the offensive side of the ball. So it doesn't surprise me that they're this good. It's what it is. And I know in regards to draft, the NBA, the NFL draft is coming up soon. Matter of fact, let me see when that is. I think that's like next this weekend, I think. Take a look. It's always before the NBA playoffs. No, right here, like the end of the NBA week will be this week. And then, you know, shortly, like that Friday and that Saturday before the playoffs kind of actually start, that's when they have the draft. They do that quite often.
Yeah.
So, you know, see, Dave's down. Did I have the date? Did I have the date? Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not even. It's May. It's April 30th. So we got a couple weeks. Not this week, but the next week. So it'll be interesting to see. And we ought to go ahead and land, and that ought to look pretty good. So with that said, you know, I guess, Lou, you have any other big-time thing you want to add?
The selectives for Basketball Hall of Fame, you know, John Calipari has been put into the Hall of Fame, as well as Dick Vivetta, Dikembe Mutombo, Lisa Leslie. They're now in the Basketball Hall of Fame like next year. Next year, one of the finalists is Kevin Johnson. So he has a good chance of making it in.
Oh, key question. I got to ask you. Lou, who's the best women's basketball player in the league?
In the league now?
Is that Taurasi? Yeah. Is that Taurasi or is it, Candace Parker? Who's the best WNBA player?
Yes, it's Taurasi. She has like what three? I think three or four championships.
Good Lord.
She has three or four championships. You know, I think Candace has one or two.
You ever notice? You know, you're really good when you could say everywhere you went, you won. She won in high school, college, and now she's here winning in the pros. So. You know what? I was very surprised, and this is off a side note, it'll probably be where we ended with tonight, is that she looks really good and out of her basketball clothes. I was very surprised. I'm not even going to lie to you. I didn't know she looked like that. I had to give a second look when I seen her. You know what I mean? And I just couldn't believe that was her. And I was like, man. She's shaped like this.
Yeah, you can't get fooled by the
jersey. Man. Yeah, you can't. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't have to be fooled if they would just wear those uniforms.
Cut it out. End the show now, please.
Okay, well, anyway.
Please, before they end it permanently.
Nothing wrong with what I'm saying, I don't think. I basically care of the same opinion of most people. But anyway, let's get down to it. We're going to go ahead and say much love. Have a great weekend. End it on the high note. That's a great note. And expect you guys to have a wonderful weekend. We'll catch you back here Thursday for the next show. This is Action Live Sports Lounge with Tekken In. And it's me, your boy, Marlon Reigns, and of course, my man, Pretty Lou, the man, Mr. Jones. We will catch you guys and leave you with beautiful music. Catch you Thursday, 8 o'clock, same time. So peace. Have a good one.